All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to American Vindicta. I'd like to start off today by addressing something. We have a shortage of brave men in this country. Too many times do I look on social media and elsewhere, and I see men who are taking a back seat to their roles as protectors, as the guide and stewards of our future for our children. I ask for anyone out there, a man who is questioning what he should be doing with his life, I ask you now to stop questioning and to start doing. If you have to look back into history to get motivation of how men used to act, then by all means, do it. But I suggest that you pray and seek God and guidance for the direction you should be going, because we have a precious little time left in this world. Either from the apocalypse coming, or World War III, or just your own mortality. Choose you how you will live this day, and who you will serve. You can live on your knees, you can serve the wokeism, you can stand up on your feet, and you can fight until we get victory. But I need to define to you what victory means. The meaning of victory is not to merely defeat your enemy, but it is to destroy him, to annihilate his existence, to completely eradicate him from living memory, to leave no remnant of his endeavors, his accomplishments, to crush even his achievements, and to remove all record of his very existence. From that defeat, there is no recovery. That is the true meaning of victory. And if you do not believe in this definition, then you are a fool, because your enemy believes in it. Your enemy improves himself every day that you tarry, every day that you look down on your hands and they grow weaker, or you look into the mirror and you grow more miserable with yourself for how you're letting yourself go, how you're not improving yourself every day. But I bet you could almost read me word and verse of some of the latest Marvel movies, or you could tell me the stats of some professional athlete. Yet when was the last time you challenged yourself to be athletic? When was the last time you said, I should be the idol that my child looks to for motivation? Men, we are losing this war, and we need more godly men to step up to the plate. And every day, you're either going to strike out or you're going to hit the home run. The lackadaisical nature is over. You need to be preparing yourself and your family for what is eventually going to hit this nation. We'll go over some news articles real quick, and then we're going to listen to the most recent Doug and Dave Intel report. But I have this sincerely pushed on my heart, because I am seeing men falter at a time when they should be standing up, when we should be combining arms together. Instead, we allow racism to creep in. We allow the lunacy of the woke mob to take over. Recently, it's on InfoWars, and I was actually watching it on Twitter and a couple of the different places, of a black man in New York City on a subway saying some of the most despicable, horrific stuff to a white family sitting on a bench. The whole time, I'm like, you know what? This guy can run his mouth, whatever. But when he steps up to them and poses that potentiality of a threat, the father should have stood up. This is my personal opinion. Should have stood up, stood for himself, stood for his family, and stood up against a bully. But instead, he sat there. Because people, and a lot of white people, by the way, have been conditioned to just take the verbal abuse. You know, for the longest time, you can look back in history when black people had to take the verbal abuse from white people. And now you see a reversal. The problem is that it's being used in such a dynamic political way that you cannot say that you can't see a new era of a civil war coming. And it's not, I personally believe, because black people want to go to war with white people. I don't believe that at all. I think that's what the mainstream media, politicians, and the globalist elitists want you to do. That's what Satan wants you to do. But being strong men also means that we would challenge what these people are trying to say to us. I have some very good friends of mine that are black, and they say the exact same thing. They see the lies. They hear the lies. The problem is you have youth within all walks of life who cannot, because of their, I guess you could say, not having the experience, the worldly experience, they cannot disseminate between truth and lies, and they see the over-hyper context that's going on within, you know, the realms of social media. And it always becomes me versus you, us versus them. Have we not realized yet that it is always and has always been we the people versus the world? It has been we the people versus the globalist elite. Even though the globalist elite have many times been our predecessors of the past and current politicians, big business, your banks. All this madness you see going on right now is controlled. We don't have to be out there in Ukraine. We didn't have to be in Iraq. We didn't have to be in Afghanistan. We should be in Mexico, but we're not. We should be all over every democratic city that has lost control, that the people, we the people, are suffering from. But there's no cause for this anymore, because you would be considered a right-wing extremist, polarizing. You'd be viewed negatively by your government. Do you not think your forefathers right now would be viewed as extremists by this government? I mean, if you really wanted to take a step back, what happened on January 6th? If this was 1776, the Capitol would be burnt down to the ground. But alas, men, you've taken the back seat for too long. Because we've been entertained, have grown fat and complacent with our victories, we've allowed the enemy to sneak in right in front of our face. That great sin of sloth. Because of our laziness, we beat our swords into plowshares too soon, because the wars aren't over. They've just begun. The real struggle has just begun for America. When the banks collapse and the crowds are gathered, the highways are packed with cars fleeing cities, and the fighting starts at the ATM. And then it grows and grows in spontaneous locations across the country because you can't get your money out. What will you do then, men? Will you be prepared for that day? Have you prepared now so that you won't be caught off guard then? This is what I ask for all men, to evaluate your situation. Evaluate yourself. Challenge yourself every day, physically and mentally. It may just save your life or your family's life. And stand up for yourself. Stand up for your family. Stand up for your God, and stand up for what is left of our country. Currently, Kim Jong-un has conducted a mock nuclear counterattack on the United States and South Korea. A special counsel has now delivered new evidence against Donald Trump for crimes that they say he committed in classified documents. They state that President Trump knowingly and deliberately misled his own attorneys about his retention of classified materials after leaving office. Do you not understand yet that they can't allow this man to run for office? And that's also why they'll smear everything that Ron DeSantis does, though I do find it uncomfortable that Ron DeSantis says that Herbert Walker Bush is his idol. That is troubling. But what I would like to see is a Ron DeSantis and a Donald Trump work together instead of trying to tear each other apart. This country now needs real men of real character. We don't need imposters wanting fame and fortune. This could be 1776 all over again. How many of us are ready? And you know if you're not. I want to say this one last time for people, because it surely seems like war is on the way. Combat is based on a few principles, whether between duelist or empires. Master the fundamentals of combat, and you can excel at all forms of battle. There is one truth that comes before all others, though. An understanding that you must keep at all forms of action. And that is, when in conflict, execute thy will. If somebody is trying to fight me, my goal is not to be punched in the face and pummeled to the ground. My goal is to stop the threat and leave the area. And stopping the threat is whatever I need to do that is necessary to win for victory's sake. And I will execute my will upon my opponent. But strategy, your strategy must always be flexible. You must be open to review and revision, but your purpose cannot be. Your purpose has to stay true, and that is victory. One might upend a war plan or abandon a strategy and start fresh. But as long as the purpose for the strategy is understood, it's the subtle changes of purpose that is your greatest foe. To adapt too far without the realization that you are now responding to the will of the opponent and not one's own. That's what's happening in America now. Instead of standing up for ourselves and fighting for ourselves, we have bowed down to counterculture. We have bowed down to transsexualism, drag queen story hour. We've bowed down to oppression because we want peace. There is no peace that will be on this earth until the Prince of Peace delivers it with a sword. And that is a sword of truth. Until Jesus Christ comes back, there will be no peace. You'll get 3.5 years from the Antichrist, but that's a short time. So it is your task then for your opponent in front of you, when this hour comes, to bend them, break them, to lure them to that point so that you can execute your purpose, and they cannot. No matter how well or how hard they fight, no matter how great the propaganda, no matter how alluring the treasure that they dangle in front of you, just drop your manhood and your principles, and all this will be yours. This is where you stand. This is when you fight. And if you're going to fight, then fight to claim victory. One must know with this victory, though, that the enemy is defeated. Total victory only comes from executing your will and ensuring that the enemy has not executed theirs. All the misdirections and the anarchy and uncertainty during the fog of war cannot obscure this simple truth. When it's dark and the streets are on fire and your goal is to get home, no matter who is in front of you, execute thy will. Stay frosty. We'll see you next time.
Tell report. And we're on the eve of the possible indictment of Donald Trump, but we're going to talk about issues that traverse whether he's indicted or not. This will air right now. It is 11:40 Central Standard Time. It's into Tuesday a.m. early on the East Coast. This will probably be about a 40-minute broadcast, and we will have it up, probably midnight, 1 o'clock. Central, 1 o'clock, 2 a.m. Eastern, just to kind of give you a frame of reference. And this is before they'll break the indictment news one way or the other. But we're going to go way beyond the indictment. The indictment, for all intents and purposes, is really meaningless. And I'll give my perspective on that as we go, because there is no case, and it will eventually be knocked out. And we'll talk about why Alvin Bragg, on behalf of George Soros and Joe Biden, is doing this, and we'll get into all that here. But this is a volatile time. I'm going to say something here I've been given permission to say. I just simply can't name the source, but I have a rather former high-ranking source, and that's all I'm going to allude to, who's been right all the way through. If you follow me back to Benghazi, that was my source. Same guy. If you follow me back to the oil spill BS, yeah, same source. Guy's never been wrong, and he's telling me right now that if the military is called on to restore order, and we don't think there's any need for rioting, I have a solution for Alvin Bragg, and it's strictly legal, and it's remote, except for a few investigators. So having said that, we don't need to have violence. Federal provocateurs from the FBI should not be able to promote violence. I disagree with Trump about the right to about coming out and protesting, although it's your right. If you feel the need to do so, do so. Do so. However, I don't think that this needs to be in the public forum. And I'm going to throw this to Doug here in just a minute. I don't think this needs to be in the public forum for protest. I think we can take care of Alvin Bragg. I think we can put his sorry ass in jail for what he's already done. And I like I said, though, I won't be protesting. And I want to say this too as a disclaimer. Doug and I are not promoting insurrectionist activity. We are promoting using the justice system in the correct manner, not weaponizing it for political purposes, and not bringing false charges that you know will eventually be thrown out simply because you want to taint someone's reputation who's a political opponent. This is communist Russia kind of behavior. This is KGB crap. And this is what we need to stand up to. So, Doug, I'm in agreement with you. And we talked about this earlier. You thought it was a mistake on Trump to call for protest. I think it's his right to call for it. I think it's people's right to protest. But we can take care of this matter without putting one person in the street. We just need to send a few investigators with Freedom of Information Acts and start investigating Alvin Bragg from top to bottom.
I agree with that. Look, I will never tell anybody in America not to exercise your First Amendment right to redress your grievances against your government, either local, state, or federal. However, understand that just like almost every militia across America, your protests are getting hijacked by Antifa and by FBI informants who end up also being CIA informants, who also being DOD informants at sometimes. We live in such a precarious time now that whenever Trump said, look, all this bad stuff's happening to me, everybody get out on the street and yell to the top of your lungs how much you disagree with it. We should. We should, because Trump was not a bad president. I don't care what you think about the guy's morals or his character prior to becoming president. He did what he could with the opportunity that he had. And I have good friends of mine who knew Trump personally from his security detail, who will tell you a thing or two about the Obamas and Clintons and the Bidens, but everybody loved Trump. He treated everybody fairly. So, and I think he did what he could with what he had. He didn't realize how deep the swamp was that he was walking into. I think he does now. I think now he'll go in there with, with extra precaution, but that's if he gets there. The goal, obviously, is to turn Trump into a felon. Now, this DA,
How about a perceived felon? Because these charges are going nowhere.
no, perceived felon means Trump can run, unless it's we're going to make him everyone perceive that Trump is a felon because they're applying those charges in order to try and dismay some people that would be voting for him in a very contentious
That's
time
my
frame.
point. Perceived felon. I don't care if, listen, they could convict Trump in DC or New York City for assassinating Abraham Lincoln. Okay. Their objectivity in that domain with the judges they have there. But the thing is when this goes to a higher court, this is over. And I think Alvin Bragg, because of the Michael Cohen revelations I referenced at the top, Alvin Bragg now faces going to jail for ignoring exculpatory evidence regarding Michael Cohen and his attorney's revelations.
The old joke is that you can indict a ham sandwich,
Yeah,
right?
exactly. There you go. Yeah.
But it's what you can prove. What are the elements of the crime? And do the elements of the crime match the penalties of that crime when it's applied to them, when they're actually prosecuted? And that doesn't match this for Trump. How can you raise a misdemeanor to a felony and it's a nonviolent crime? That's in this
Oh, they're
case.
bootstrapping it into election interference, which is BS. See, they can't do misdemeanor, Doug, and I found this out today. They can't do misdemeanor because the statute of limitations has already expired.
That's right.
Okay. So they got to say, okay, you paid off this woman simply because of the fact that you're trying to interfere in the election. And the Federal Election Commission already weighed in on this. They said there's no crime.
No, because
There's nothing.
what they're saying was the interference was that this lady was actually interfering with Trump's reelection with her allegations. That was the actual crime that was being done here. And what happened? Nothing happened. Stormy Daniels went to Congress and nothing happened. She looked like an idiot, just like her lawyer looked like a creepy idiot. Now,
was that Avenatti, the guy who's gone to prison?
Yeah, now, yeah,
he's already gone to prison.
Yeah, yeah. So let's understand a few things. All right, your right to protest is always going to be yours. Exercise it judicially and cautiously. Understand that now everything can and will be turned against you and used against you in an unjust court of law. All right. Secondly, you are going to have infiltrators. You're going to have instigators. And most likely, the infiltrator and instigator know each other or are paid to do it. They're either paid to do it by a federal agency or they're paid to do it by a Democratic law firm or whatever. I know when we were combating Antifa, the instigators worked for law firms for Democratic parties. Like,
are you talking about Antifa when you were in Portland?
Yeah. Well, Portland, okay. Dallas, you know, you freaking name it. We've been all over the country chasing these people.
So you're saying the guys that you caught with like incendiary devices, the DOJ would cut loose. Mm-hmm. These guys were actually working for Democratic law firms.
So not them. It's the ones with the bullhorns, the ones with the rallying cries.
The directors.
They are the pushers. Okay. They move the crowd. They start the chants. They keep the energy going. Okay. And then all you need is a couple brainwashed idiots, a couple fractured identities within the crowd, and then they will commit the violence. And unfortunately and sadly, the last four warrants that I picked up when I was the team leader and tactical commander for DHS for that operation, the last four people were all mentally handicapped. They were being used by Antifa. Antifa would take someone who's mentally impaired and say, here, you hate the cops, don't you? We're buddies. Here's some weed. There's a rock. Throw it at the bad guys, which was us. All right. We talked to one of their guys for probably a good 2 hours after we arrested them and started to process them. And after everything was done with, he was like, oh, man, you guys are actually really nice. And we're like, yeah, of course we are.
I'm sorry I tried to blow you up.
Yeah, like, hey, man, we're just people like you. And you know what? After the whole thing was done with, the guy was like, you know what? When I go back and talk to those guys, I'm going to tell them how nice y'all were and how nice you treated me. Like, don't say that. Damn, they may try to kill you if you say something like that. So anyways, your right to protest, infiltration, hijacking the protest, aggressors. Let's talk about another one. The threat that is always going to be there for these political venues. Boston bombing, right? Don't forget what happened recently in Michigan with a guy driving his car through a crowd. And don't also forget about the other guy who opened fire in the middle of a crowd. Domestic terrorism can take shape in all different forms, from stabbings to a bunch of hooligans together that are beating people up with melee weapons, to bombs, improvised explosive devices, vehicle ramming, or an active shooter.
Yeah.
Whenever you're in these crowds, it would behoove of you to be with a group, and for at least one or two or three of you, have a tourniquet, some sort of a medical device on you, in case something happens and you can stop the bleeding, and most likely also a firearm, if you can lawfully carry it in the area that you're in. Sometimes you can't. But, and this is just Doug's idea, okay? You guys go and do what you want. But Doug's idea, don't wear a combat uniform to a protest. Doug's idea is dress normally. Go speak your problems. Carry your gun if you want to, concealed, right? But don't let people know what you got on you, all right? Don't let people know what you're capable of. But especially don't let everyone know, here I am in my hooligan, you know, combat outfit. I'm here to fight Antifa with my plate carrier. All you're doing is skylining yourself for federal agents or law enforcement in general, to include Antifa, to target you and harass you and to monitor you, okay? Always keep that in the back of your mind. Doesn't mean you might or might not be harassed by law enforcement, but not everybody is, you know, AJ squared away in law enforcement. Some guys got egos a little bit bigger than their britches can handle, and they like to terrorize some people with the badge. So understand that you're going to have those guys out there. So I say, look plain Jane. Nobody cares. Wear your MAGA hat if you want to, but understand, if you wear a MAGA hat, okay, and you're caught out in a parking lot at night with a crowd of idiots wearing all black and they see you with the one red cap, what just happened? You skylined yourself.
Yeah, you need to be the gray man. I totally agree with what you're saying. Otherwise, you're putting a bullseye on your backside. There's no question about that.
It's just a safety precautionary
I
thing.
want to bring up something here too, because it kind of bears into what we're talking about. Like I said, people, you don't need to protest, okay? But you have the right. Let me just say this though. I have had conversation, highly reliable source I referenced earlier, and I've been told most of the military will stand down if ordered to respond. If this thing gets out of control, and I do think if people gather, it will get out of control because the FBI provocateurs will be displayed, dispersed among the crowd, and they'll start their BS the same way they did on J6 that we've seen on the tapes. And the military says they ain't coming in. Alvin Bragg is on his own. He's got the New York Police Department. They may get the National Guard. It depends what that persuasion of that commander will be. And I have to tell you, Doug, I'm telling you right now, here's my biggest concern. This is an event that if the military was called on and they said, no, we don't have the resources, we're not ready to deploy, and they're basically looking for an excuse, this is the bifurcation between government and military. This is Civil War directional. And listen, for you FBI people that want to kick in my door, I'm not advocating for a civil war. I'm talking about what's happened in history and what we're on the precipice of doing. And it was you people in the FBI that put us in this first position on January the 6th when you had agent provocateurs in the crowd, and it's been on national TV. You can't deny it.
Oh, yeah, and FBI, don't lie in court.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought we were better than that, federal agents. But once again, not everybody's created equally, okay? But 700 riot officers for NYPD have been activated. They've got the bike barriers surrounding the DA's office. I don't know what they're expecting. One of two things could happen, and I almost agree with either. One, 10,000 people can show up. Protest. If you're going to do that, the best thing that you can do, and hear me, people, because many of you are going to show up, best thing you can do is to sing hymns, chant your American patriotic chants. Don't throw a bottle. Don't raise a fist. Be peaceful and show them that you're better than what they're doing. And I just say this simply as apply the rules of what Jesus would do and be smart. Be wise as serpents while you're out there. Because what's going to happen is your 10,000 people will show up and one idiot is going to throw the glass bottle. Okay. And then the giant solidarity that showed up for Trump to say, hey, look, man, we're here for you. This is bullshit. This is happening, but we're here to support number 45. And then here comes the one bottle. And it never ceases to fail. I've seen this so many times, hundreds of times. The first time, a hard object is thrown. That's what we call it in law enforcement. A hard object. Then here comes another one. And then it's like, an artillery barrage of trash and debris that's coming at you. It takes one glass bottle to hit an officer and to explode and hurt them for you to start getting CS gas thrown at you. And from there, people can be stampeded on, people can be hurt, people can be arrested. So don't do that, right? But someone will. That's your hijackers.
That someone would be an FBI agent given past
And
history.
that someone, anyone who does that, MAGA, listen to me, be better than the left. Anyone who does that, grab them and identify them. Identify them. I'm not saying turn them over to the police. You people do what you want, okay? But grab them and identify them and who they are. Get their face on a camera, okay? Just like with January 6th, all this eventually came out. Let's have the evidence ready before the next committee can come up with their own evidence, right? Here's the other one. Or would it be better for no one to show up? Would it be better for 700 NYPD officers to sit there in full riot gear with no one to do anything against?
Let me give you another thing. Paul Preston has driven several California officials out of office because they've had 100 people per affidavit has gone to them, and they've had interrogatories attached to them, and they go to the sheriff, and these people don't want to face a potential investigation because of their role in voter fraud in California. And so several of these people have resigned. And Paul and I have been talking about this. We think this could be applied across the country. Alvin Bragg could be such a person. We don't have one affidavit with 100 signatures. We have an affidavit with 100,000 signatures, and it goes to the sheriff. And then we begin to FOIA all their records, all his campaign contributions, particularly the ones that came from George Soros front groups. And we start looking for election interference, and we start looking for election impropriety. And you know, when George Soros is involved, you know, you're going to find plenty. That's the way we attack this. We go after the false accusers in a legal manner.
Don't you find it funny? New York allowed so much chaos to happen over the last 3 years. So much. And this guy is one of the reasons. But between the Black Lives Matter and the Antifa riots, and then the just huge spike in violence alone. Today, Dave, earlier today, I watched a couple, a man and a woman, beat a man almost to death if he didn't die because of a parking space issue. The husband stabbed the guy multiple times, and the wife was striking him in the head with an aluminum baseball bat.
Oh, my God. I didn't see this.
Oh, yeah. I got it. You can't show it on YouTube, but...
Well, you could show it on YouTube if it was a white cop doing it to an African-American male.
You know, the unfair thing here...
They have to present the image. And I'm not impugning African-Americans. I'm just saying that's the narrative they want to run. When you have the reverse true, that's not allowed to be shown. That's the fact. That's a fact. In fact, who said this the other day? Oh, Charles Barkley. But listen to this. Charles Barkley, the other day, they were talking about a social incident, and I don't know how it came up at a basketball show, but they were covering the NCAA tournament. And I saw the clip of it. I was sent the clip. I didn't see it live. And Charles Barkley said this. He said, they don't want to show you black on black crime. And this is really what's going on in our country today and why there's so much violence. And by the way, if you don't know who Charles Barkley is, he's an ex-NBA player, now a sports commentator, and he is black. And so you're right about the perception. They will never show that. And it's not just YouTube. It's the mainstream media. But if it were the reverse, remember when the kid had a gun and he was like 14 years old and a cop knew he was armed, so he shot him? Because the kid was acting, it was like 14 years old. He got shot in Chicago. Do you remember that case? A completely justifiable shoot, but they made it out like police abuse, white cop, black kid. And I think the kid part of it's tragic, but the kid, unfortunately, chose his own day to die. You cannot pull a gun on a cop.
Spiritually, what we would say is we have a demonized youth, right?
Yeah.
However, this translates culturally across America. And it's not just blacks, all right? I was actually in kind of like a Twitter debate 2 days ago about this. It's not the fact you have an excess amount of hyperviolence from the black community. All right, there's plenty of FBI statistics to prove one way or the other if that is true or false. I really don't care. To me, it's irrelevant. People are dangerous. I don't care who you look like. But look at this. You have hyperviolence from the black youth, then you have hyperviolence from the white youth. What do both things have in common? Democrat. That's what both of these things have in common. Has nothing to do at this point in time with skin. Has nothing to do with that. It has to do with culture. Because on the white side, communist kids. And that's what they are. They believe in Satanism, which means they believe in God in some strange way, but they believe in Satanism, so they're satanic. LGBTQRS, all right? Many of them are pedophiles. Many of them are violent felons. Many of them come from broken homes, or on the vice versa, many of them come from completely normal homes, and they got themselves caught up in the washing machine, and from there, politics ruined them. But that's the same thing from the white community as it is to the black community. All right. what we have is we have a sick, spiritually sick America. And violence isn't going to cure it, though violence is an option. It shouldn't be the option. And what us older generation of people, us older men and older women should be doing, you know, the actual adults in the room, is we should be coming together as ourselves and saying, hey, look, the youth is out of control. We need to do something about it. And I don't know if we can at this point. I don't know if you can preach to the masses and they listen anymore, Dave. But I know this, we can throw gas all day long and drive them out of the city. But we'll have to do it dozens of times a day or tens of dozens of times a week. I know, because that's what I did. All right, we tried talking to the youth. Why are you guys here? Why are you trying to burn stuff down? Why are you terrorizing the city? Why are you chasing people around the town? Why are you on drugs? Where the hell is your mom? Why don't you have a job? Why the hell are most of you homeless?
They do have a job. They were paid by George Soros.
That's right. $160 a day in Portland.
That's right.
But when you ask these simple questions, you get this weird deer in the headlights look. And in a lot of ways, I'm going to bring up something very old, but it reminds me of MKUltra. What's going on today with today's youth? It's Operation Mockingbird. It's MKUltra. It's the brainwashing over and over and over, and the fracturing of identities to the point that these people believe what they're doing is the correct way to live. And you don't see politicians addressing that. Hell, you don't see the church addressing it. So while everybody's wrapped up with Trump getting indicted, while everybody is wrapped up trying to beat each other up if whether or not you should go out and support Trump or whether or not you should stay at home and possibly stay away from potential violence, we forget that the whole country is deteriorating. This is why I've gotten to where I don't like politics. I have nothing really against Trump. I have nothing against DeSantis. I want a man who is righteous in the eyes of God to be my president, not an egomaniac. So if Trump can decide to drop the egomaniac and become the righteous man in the eyes of God, I'll support him. Until then, I'm not going to anymore.
Who would you support, DeSantis?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that only, you know, but hey, hold on. That only goes for so long. Politicians are still politicians. I don't trust any of them. You know, they're not us, man. I don't care how much these people say they are. They're not us. They live like kings and queens in their cities and in their states. Not us. So we have to always understand these people are detached from a certain level of reality and social constructs. As many times they'd like to say, hey, I'm like one of you. No, you're not, Trump. You are not like any of us. You haven't been like any of us since, what, the 80s, 90s? So
I want to interject something here on this. And I'm not here as a Trump apologist. First of all, 2 points. One, DeSantis can't carry an election yet because he doesn't have the national fundraising ability, and he'll be sabotaged by Rona McDaniel, the RNC leader, Mitch McConnell, and I don't think Kevin McCarthy will support him. I think Kevin McCarthy thinks he's going to be the candidate, but we'll see. But I think I'm going to be right on this. McCarthy's waiting to see what happens with Trump. He's trying to support Trump by saying he'll investigate Alvin Bragg.
To make himself look better.
There you go. Exactly. So that's one point. But the other half of what I'm going to say is this. When in debate number two, the best line ever delivered in a debate came from Donald Trump to Hillary Clinton in 2016. She said, kind of shudder to think what would happen if people like Donald Trump were in charge of the DOJ. And he said, you'd be in jail. Now, why didn't he capitalize on that? He goes on 60 Minutes right after his election, and he says he's not going to prosecute Hillary Clinton after he said he would. Well, I can tell you why. He had the visit from Kissinger, and Kissinger's the JFK messenger. This is what you can do. This is what you can't do. And I'm going to reference something Obama said one time, and he said this to a group that's repeated it. He said, they asked him why he didn't continue more with hope and change that he promised. And he said, because there's realities, as Henry Kissinger pointed out to me. And what I'm telling you right now, the JFK warning goes out to every president that goes into office. And when you don't listen like Ronald Reagan doesn't, then you get shot by a guy named Hinckley hoping you'll die and George Bush takes over. So this is the back down of Trump. He backed down. And he's figuring if they shot Kennedy, they'll shoot me. And there's
Well,
more controversy against me than there was against Kennedy.
And the threat to Barron was real.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So
it was real.
What I'm telling you people is no matter who you put in the White House, they've got to have almost total disregard for their safety if they're going to do what needs to be done.
Well, Henry Kissinger also said, to be an enemy of America can be dangerous, but to be a friend is fatal.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? Listen, I really don't have much against Trump. He didn't do what he said he would to the full extent. I'm going to hold that
against him. You're
talking
about draining the swamp.
Yeah, I'm going to hold that against him. Instead, he put more creatures back into the swamp. All right? He didn't listen to us. If you go back into the Old Testament of the Bible, read back over the kings who were given a chance to do the right thing.
Right.
They screwed it up. Did they get a second chance? No. So that's kind of my mindset. We need to have a tolerance level as Christians and as Americans. Okay?
God chooses surprising characters to carry out his will.
That's right.
And that's how I looked at Donald Trump when he was elected. And that's why I supported him. But Donald Trump failed to trust in the Lord to protect him.
Well, and look, I don't know his walk in his faith. I hope that he's come closer to God. I hope that he has repented of his sins, and I hope that he has turned a new leaf and has been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I want that for him. However, you're not supposed to speak ill of the brethren. So why get on Twitter and then start this whole damn Twitter war with Ron DeSantis? Why? Because you're afraid of him?
He's insecure.
Well, hey, that's not the leader we need. I don't need an insecure billionaire big mouth. I need a guy.
Yeah, I agree.
I need a guy who's going to pull us back together. Okay. We have cities that are still on fire every weekend, an open border filled with violent felons coming across the border to include terrorists and drugs. We have a completely out of control DOJ, out of control Congress, if you really want to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And we have potential war with Russia and China and Mexico and God knows who else. We need a guy who's not going to come in and point fingers at everybody and do a funny little tweet to try and say, ha ha, look, I'm still king of the mountain. I don't care about any of that. Man, my taxes have gone up. Yours have gone up. Price of eggs have gone up. All right. The price of gas and diesel went up so much, some people decided to stay home instead of going to work or to stay home instead of going on vacation. We need a guy who will take care of America first, not himself first. So if either candidate can do one of those things, take care of America first, dig your well first before you dig the well for the rest of the freaking land, then your vote will be on my side as long as you stay within the bounds of God. But once
but
again,
here's the problem, Doug, you're being idealistic though.
I know.
Because what that candidate would be digging would be his own grave.
I think what Trump wants, and let me be frank with you. I think what Trump really wants is he wants the people to rise up, organically rise up, and, quote, do something about it. Isn't that what everyone says? Isn't it time for us to do something about it? Well, that innuendo means, isn't it time that we go to Congress, that we go to the White House with a 2 or 3 million man civilian army, and we, quote, arrest the criminals? It'll never happen. It has never happened. It will never happen. It will not be allowed to happen either. So Trump needs to get that through his head. There is a way to fight this. For one thing, if he's not fighting this fight on his knees, he's wrong.
Yeah.
That's where he should be starting first.
You know, I want to go back over one other point here, too. We've kind of moved beyond the Alvin Bragg. Will there be an indictment? There has to be an indictment. Otherwise, he'll tremendously lose face. He'll be disgraced in his own party. I mean, hell, you got Maxine Waters calling for Trump's head. So he has to act. He's caught between a rock and a hard place.
But
we've moved beyond that. So when Trump is indicted and they put the handcuffs on him, can you see the rage that'll take place in this country? Or will we just stand down and accept it like we do everything else?
A bit of both. You know, what does Secret Service do? I mean, as far as I know, this is the first time this would ever happen, right? So, this is very unexpected, making history for sure. I don't know if the Secret Service detail is going to relinquish their jurisdictional authority over the president to the, DA of New York. I would love to see them tell him to go pound sand or take a Thermopylae and stand and say, come and get them. I'd back you for that. It's one of those very strange conundrums.
Let me ask you this question too. As a former federal agent, what will the Secret Service do if they try to put handcuffs on him? I don't see them letting them do that.
There would have to be a higher authority from the Secret Service chain of command speaking to the protective detail of Trump and saying, hey, listen, this is what's going to happen. You're going to escort Trump to this area, and from there it'll be taken over by local law enforcement or state law enforcement.
But that abandons presidential protection.
It's unprecedented.
It's illegal.
I think it
It
is.
violates social, Secret Service provisions. If they take secret, let's say they even put him in jail, okay? He has to have armed Secret Service agents with him.
You would think, right? He's the
Yeah.
president. Yeah, but who freaking knows, man? I mean, this president with this DA would get put right into the same cell with Michael Myers
Oh,
or Jason
they'll
Voorhees.
put him in Rikers.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yep. He'll do well there the first hour. It's I don't see why one district attorney has the power that he has against a president. That's baffling to me.
It's just like
Where's the
the
governor?
national the
Where's the
national
other higher
art.
authorities?
Well, that's it. Alvin Bragg is their BITCH. That's where they're at. He's
But
going to take all the hit. If this goes
this is
bad,
a Soros deal,
it
though.
falls on Alvin Bragg. It doesn't fall on the governor, Hochul, doesn't fall on her, doesn't fall on anybody else. It falls squarely on Alvin Bragg.
Here's the other thing. Alvin Bragg is a loser piece of crap.
You just
What's
look at him. He looks like gutter trash.
well, the amount of felons that he went from felon status to misdemeanor status, released on the streets, and then those people hurt people, rape people, or killed other people, and
Killed
he's never
people.
been accounted
Killed
for,
people.
right? But this is Soros's game. And for the life of me, Lord, why is this man still alive? And for the life of
Oh,
me,
George Soros? You
yeah.
mean the man who is Jewish and at 13 years old, the Nazis paid him to turn in Jews that were hiding? That's Soros? Yeah, exactly. Why is he
Yep.
still alive?
With
Why
his uncle.
hasn't the Israeli Mossad, why haven't they taken care of Soros?
Why are people like this allowed to terrorize the world?
Well, same with Klaus Schwab and Yuval Harari. Same thing. They're sick animals that serve
I
Satan.
don't know. Once again, man, we are on the precipice of civil war. All right. I said this, Dave. I said it 2 years ago.
I know.
I said it 2 years ago to you that by 2023, 24, if we're not in a civil war, I'm going to be shocked.
Well, this is a big first step. I don't see any way Bragg can back down. But let's assume he does back down. What happens after that? The mainstream media will vilify Alvin Bragg. Do you agree?
He'll
He's a
lose.
coward.
He'll
Yeah.
lose his job. He'll be shoved in a closet. No one will ever see him
Exactly.
again.
Exactly.
But that'd be
That's
a
why
huge, that'd be
he's
a
got to
huge
act.
defeat. That's a huge defeat for the Democrats. I mean, can they reel back from that?
No, but they don't need to. When you can steal any election, when you control the mainstream media, when you've weakened the military, when you're getting paid by China to basically betray your country, where do you turn, Doug? There was a series, the old series 24, and there was a season where the hero of the show, the corrupt president was after him. The corrupt this was after him. The cartel was after him. It was all in the same year. And I'm thinking, there's nowhere for this guy to hide. There's no justice. And you know what? That show, even though that was not the condition of the country at that time, that might have been about like 08, 15 years ago, with Kiefer Sutherland's character. That show, that season describes where we're at now. There is no justice in America. None. Zero. In fact, Doug.
I think at this point we need the collective power of prayer. You know, as Christians,
Absolutely.
I think we
Absolutely.
should be using the collective power of prayer, of redressing our grievances to the throne room and asking for God to intervene. You know, our God is a great God. He could intervene, okay? Should we all come to him and humble ourselves before the throne room? But, you know, the other part of me says that if this is just something that's meant to be, and that America isn't getting any more turns, it's nine lives are up.
Yeah, I hear you. It's nine lives are up. You're exactly right. I want to see if I can't bring something up to play for you. I've told you about it. Let me see if I can do a pick my share screen. Can you see that, Doug?
Yep.
Okay, let's see if it plays. And let me turn this up because I had turned the sound down because it was blaring earlier. Okay. This is from 1981, people, in a movie. Can you see it?
Yep.
Okay, and you can hear it?
No, make sure your sound's up.
No, I just muted it, but could you hear it?
No.
Did you hear that?
Nope.
Oh, boy.
It's because your headphone's in.
Oh. Okay, we'll do it the old-fashioned way. We should be able to play it with a straight share screen.
Now, I'd like to say that most of the credit...
How's that?
Good.
Okay.
It goes to our extremely efficient International Research and Development Committee. I would like to thank each and every one of you for your hard work and dedication to our cause. In reviewing this year's progress, let me say that we have been highly effective in conditioning the people's minds to accept our solution to the world's problems. The energy crisis here in the United States was exceptionally successful worldwide, and we expect similar success with our upcoming food shortage. Our labor leaders have made great progress by causing confusion and work stoppages in all areas of the world. Financially, the dollar is being devalued even faster than we could have hoped. Politically, the public has lost total confidence in any form of government. The threat of universal war is a daily possibility. As you know, we ourselves do not need to hold any visible office of leadership. As a matter of fact, it's better that we do not. We control the finances, news media, food, transportation, energy. We control everything. It is important that you, as world leaders, keep our program before your country. With our World Bank and computer program operational, we now have the capacity to control the financial affairs of every human being on Earth by giving each person his own computer number. Anytime his number is used, you could know his financial situation at once. You cannot buy or sell anything without his computer number. It will simplify their lifestyles tremendously. The end result will be a one-world monetary and government system that we alone will control.
Yes. What about the people who forget their number or their cards are lost or stolen?
We've made provisions for that. By using this laser imprinter, we can painlessly and permanently affix the person's number to the back of his hand or his forehead if he so desires. The numbers would be easily read by this new ultraviolet scanning equipment. For the purposes of demonstration, I've had such a number imprinted on myself. Once this number is imprinted, it cannot be lost nor can it be changed. Now, are there any questions?
What about the individuals who refuse to have this number implantation?
We expect some minor resistance, especially from highly motivated religious groups. But eventually, hunger will cause even the most zealous to conform to our program.
And Mr. Chairman, I am concerned about the situation in the Middle East.
We've given Russia and Israel a great deal of consideration. Russia is, as you probably already know, considering an invasion of Israel in order to obtain a medical equal. Our policy is to support such a move and supply Israel with the necessary nuclear weapons to fend off such an attack. The mental conditioning of the Israelis is he has nothing to lose, and subsequently will attack the Russians before they can get their planes off the ground. Gentlemen, I believe that within a year, two of the most, our one-world government will be a reality. If we continue on our present course, it is my opinion that we could present the devil himself as a world leader, and the people would accept him.
Okay, let me re-plug in here.
We've made tremendous progress. Now, I'd like to say that most of the...
And I don't know why I can't shut this off. Hang on. Okay, sound disappear?
Yeah.
Okay. Doug, that was, hold on, let me take care of this here. Okay, that was 1981, Doug. What do you think?
Sounds a lot like what's going to happen, doesn't it?
Or what's already in process.
Mm-hmm. The world elite operate by a manual, and they've had this manual wrote, what, since Jekyll Island? You know, I mean, everybody knows the eventuality is the Antichrist. That is the eventuality. However, the Antichrist himself apparently doesn't know that his eventuality is Jesus Christ. So, you know, once again, we talk about this all the time. The infrastructure of the Antichrist is being set up. Everything you see right now, I don't know that I would call it a stage and the whole world is a theater, but it is definitely foretold. It is prophesied. You know, Dave, I firmly believe that as long as you are strongly rooted within the foundations of the Bible, if you are bought and born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, you are going to have to view this world through a biblical lens. And many strange things are going to happen. You're going to see many strange creatures. You're going to see many strange and odd things coming back to this world that used to be, quote, extinct. All right. We have threats from space, underneath the world, and on top of the world. All right. The thing that you can find in constant motion is that God is in control. That's because otherwise, with all this other crazy stuff happening, you know, suicide rates are still going up. Divorce rates are still going up. Homelessness is going up. And the world's only getting worse. But the one constant is God's love should you turn to him. That's my pontification for the night. That's my altar call for those of you who don't know the right way to walk. Dave, I think we only got, what, a few minutes left?
Yeah, we're over time. But the bottom line is here is I think we've gone as far as we can go tonight. This will publish early morning and before the decision comes out. I think we're both in agreement that Bragg will indict, despite what the evidence says, because he's backed into a corner. The only thing we don't know is how severe this is going to get. J6 fakery was made for a moment like this to try to dissuade the people from acting. Okay, we don't have to act. We can investigate. And folks, remain calm, remain peaceful, and to the military, stand down and refuse all unlawful orders to act against the American people. On behalf of Doug Thornton, my broadcast partner here on the Doug and Dave Intel Report on the Common Sense Show.tv, I want to thank you for joining us, and we'll see what happens later in this day. Thanks so much.
All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.